check what you call the Bible's cornerstone for American liberty. What is in the Spirit? For since give me liberty or give me death, has been invented. Our country was founded on that. We eliminated God from our place, thus eliminated us. Literally a book of life, chapter and verse. James Madison said, we stake our future.
Oh, beautiful, for hero, in liberating skies.
And it's fairly good.
Born and held, their country love.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a frequent guest here, but today we wanted to talk about vaccinations because there's been a lot of question about some of the vaccinations that have been given here. Certainly, we know now that the polio vaccine that they gave us contained a monkey cancer virus, and then, of course, when they replaced one type of monkey, the rhesus monkey with the green monkey, they gave us the green monkey viruses. And then, of course, they rush these things into production because there's a lot of money to be made, and, oh, we want to protect the people. And then we find out that they poisoned the minds and brains of our children with the toxic doses of mercury, and they've known it for years. 1,500 studies showing it was harmful, and one study done actually by the vaccine manufacturers or the people who manufactured the mercury saying it wasn't. Well, Dr. Blaylock, of course, has analyzed this. He was a very successful neurosurgeon in Jackson, Mississippi, and now he's spending full time writing and trying to educate the American people about what's going on. Dr. Blaylock, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the vaccines. What is your take on the vaccines? Are vaccines useful? Have they really done more harm than good?
Well, I think in the balance, the modern vaccine programs are doing considerable more harm than they're doing good. And I think the problem that we have is that the forces that have been selling the vaccination program have emphasized the great epidemics and how the vaccines have played a major role in preventing these epidemics where hundreds of millions of people were killed. But when we take a closer look at a lot of this, we find out that there's a little bit of prestidigitation going on there, that there are other explanations for the fall in mortality from these epidemics and the disappearance of these epidemics in the vaccine programs. But the vaccines have their own problems that are creating a national epidemic, as we'll see.
All right, fine. We're going to be talking more about this in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. With us today is Dr. Russell Blaylock of Jackson, Mississippi, and we're going to be talking about his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And we're going to talk about the vaccine programs that have been instituted here in the United States. And we're told, oh, this is wonderful. We've saved so many lives. And look, we don't have the high incidence of measles we had at the beginning of the 20th century. And that's absolutely right. The trouble was that by the time that they got around to giving vaccines here in the United States, I think there were about 44 deaths every year from measles, which is infinitesimal when you compare it to the shocking incidence of autism and sudden infant death syndrome and all of these other things, which would appear at least to be related to the vaccine. So you pick up the story from there, Russell.
Well, is something that's particularly interesting. That is, why did the epidemics disappear? Why we're having fewer epidemics of the major diseases that you talk about, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, smallpox, all of these things. And when we look at it, for instance, just taking measles alone, the death rate from 1950 and 1958 fell by 95% in the United States and United Kingdom, but it did so before the vaccine program was ever initiated. When we look at pertussis death rate, it fell by 75%, and diphtheria by 90%, again, before the vaccine programs were ever started.
Well, now, was this related to general health, to public health measures, healthier children? Why did the incidence of the disease and the deaths from the disease fall so dramatically before the vaccine program?
Well, that was one of the things that they looked at. They looked at all kinds of factors to see, well, why was this death rate falling so dramatically? And several things. Number one was increase in sanitation, but the number one thing was improvement in nutrition. A lot of people were moving into the big cities, particularly like London and New York and Philadelphia, during this period in 1900s. And what we saw was a concentration of the population, and because it was initially difficult to get food into the city that were fresh and contained a lot of vegetables and things we know are nutritious, the epidemics always seemed to hit the cities. It was not just because the population was crowded there. And we found that as our ability to refrigerate foods and bring them into the city by trucking and other methods, the people were eating better, eating a better variety of fruits and vegetables, that these death rates began to plummet significantly, and we saw this all over the world. When we looked at places where there was poor nutrition and they did not improve during these same periods, the epidemic stayed at very high levels and the death rates stayed at very high levels. So the number one factor in the fall of these death rates from these diseases was nutrition improvement.
All right, fine. So basically, the incidence of disease had fallen dramatically, and this is covered in my July newsletter last year. We actually got these figures, and I'm sure you've seen them as well, Russell, that actually were put out by public health authorities showing the dramatic fall in disease before the vaccine programs that started. It was falling precipitously, but of course, everybody wants to attribute this to the vaccines. But then, of course, what harm have the vaccines done? Everybody says, well, gee, look how much healthier our children are today than they were before. Is that really true?
Well, actually not. And what we're seeing is that not only are children developing diseases that used to be restricted to the middle age or older age adult, they're increasing in enormous numbers. For instance, type 2 diabetes has increased some 600%. We're starting to see neurological diseases occur at a much earlier age.
Well, now, what's the difference between type 1 and type 2? I thought that is the type 2 of the childhood, or is the type 2 the diabetes of older people?
Well, the type 2 is the older people of diabetes, the
right.
Insulin-independent diabetes. So this used to be seen primarily in people in their 50s and 60s and 70s. Now we're seeing it at very high rates in teenagers and even down as young as 9 or 10 years of age.
Okay. What about the type 1 diabetes? Is that on the rise as well?
type 1 is also on the rise, and this has been connected to several of the viruses have been connected to the diabetes of various kinds, and they have been connected to various of the vaccines as well. One of the vaccines of particular concern was the hepatitis B vaccine, was associated with development of diabetes. So we see that the vaccines themselves may be inducing the diabetes. What we see in the case of juvenile diabetes or that type 1 diabetes is there are many environmental things that can trigger it in genetically susceptible infants. So that the child is prone to develop diabetes, if they're exposed to that vaccine or that particular virus, then they'll develop full-blown diabetes. Otherwise, they would be completely free of it.
And so by introducing these new antigens into the system, which never should be there, because these are artificial ones, these are not the normal ones of disease, why many times you'll then get some sort of a sensitivity of the pancreas, and the pancreas undergoes this response to an autoimmune disease or self-induced immune response?
Exactly right. This is called molecular mimicry, and what the virus does is it implants itself in the insulin-producing part of the pancreas. The body attempting to get at the virus will inadvertently damage the insulin-producing cells at the same time.
Now, these are the viruses that we're introducing and the live viruses, as you're suggesting?
Right, and that's the most dangerous kind. And in fact, I would say that there should be a moratorium on all live viruses.
Now, of course, the two viruses, the live viruses, the kill viruses, and then the toxoid, which, of course, neutralizes the toxins produced by the bacteria. Is that it?
That's correct.
Okay.
The big danger with the live viruses is that the whole idea of giving live viruses, for instance, if you took smallpox and you took the smallpox virus and you pass it through different cultures, we find that eventually the virus becomes very low virulence. That means it's less likely to produce disease. So that if you pass it through these cultures in the lab, then you make a vaccine out of it and you inject it in someone's skin, they won't develop smallpox, but they'll develop the immunity to smallpox. The problem that we found with the live viruses like measles and mumps and rubella and some of these things is that this virus then inhabits your body for the rest of your life. And now we have excellent evidence that because of the free radical generation in your body, it will change these attenuated non-virulent viruses into very powerful disease-causing viruses. They mutate. These viruses are found in the brain. They're found in all the organs of the body, and there's no way to get rid of them once you inject them. They're going to stay there. So we're injecting millions of our infants and children with live viruses that there's growing evidence that is producing disease. For instance, we know that measles virus titers are higher in people that have multiple sclerosis and have Lou Gehrig disease. There's been two cases of Parkinson's disease induced in infants that were vaccinated with live viruses, and they isolated the viruses from their brain. So one of them was a five-year-old who developed very serious and advanced Parkinson's disease. This is a disease we normally see in people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. So we know that these live viruses can produce severe neurological disease, they can produce diabetes, they can produce various autoimmune diseases, and produce these chronic disorders that's going to ruin these children's life all the way through the rest of their lives.
Well, of course, apparently the young woman who is the Miss America, the latest Miss America, was deaf. But, of course, her deafness came on right after a vaccination. Have you heard that?
Yes, and that's not an infrequent story, that a lot of these viruses produce reactions that can destroy selected nerves. In fact, some of the cases where a person was vaccinated in one arm, the destruction of the nerves in that arm begin to occur, in which they lose all the muscles in that particular arm, and then it'll advance to full-blown Lou Gehrig disease, or ALS.
And so, really, of course, we know that there is a much higher incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease in the young men who went over to the Gulf than in the general population, about twice as much. And, of course, they had multiple injections. But, you know, and of course, really what happens is with so many of the people in our military, every time they turn around, they get a shot. And I know my son, who was in the Navy, developed severe asthma to the point life-threatening, almost died from an acute respiratory arrest. And the only thing we could attribute it to was the multiple vaccinations. I've said this before when you've been on the program, but I talked to Dr. Kenneth Alabak, the number two man in the Soviet Biological Warfare Unit. And, of course, he told me that he had to take 56 different vaccinations for 56 different diseases. He's so allergic, he can't be around almost anything. He said multiple vaccinations will kill you. Now, here's a man who ought to know. He was the number two man in the Soviet program. But, of course, they're not telling this to our parents over here. They're saying, oh, we've got all these wonderful vaccines. We've got to get them in the nursery. Because we, of course, they don't want the child to get out of the hospital before they get the hepatitis B shot.
That's correct. And what we're seeing is because of over-vaccination, several things are happening. For instance, an average child today gets approximately 22 vaccine injections before age 2. What happens when you vaccinate a child, you're not only giving the agent that you want to produce the immunity to, for instance, measles or mumps, but you have to add what's called immune adjuvants to it. That is very powerful immune stimulants. So they add things like aluminum salts to it or MSG even. They add a lot of different things that will cause the body's immune system to overreact. So when you do that 22 different times, for instance, a normal office visit, a child will get 6 or 7 injections in a single office visit. That produces an enormous overactivation of their immune system. And we have excellent proof now that when you do that, not only in a child but in an adult, it causes the brain to secrete destructive compounds that destroys the little connections between the nerve cells and can even result in autoimmune disease of the brain. The extreme is what we call something like subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, in which they'll lose all the insulation of the nervous system, and it's a highly fatal disease. Others have other forms of encephalitis. They can develop autism, ADD, ADHD, all sorts of learning difficulties, emotional problems. These have all been proven to be caused by over-immune stimulation. One of the best evidence we have is in cancer patients in which they attempted to stimulate their immune system using special immune chemicals. And they found these patients developed a lot of the symptoms that are very similar to autism. So we know that overstimulation of certain portions of the immune system can produce the very same picture we're seeing in all of these various diseases.
Well, now, do you think the autism is related then to the over-immunity, the excessive immune response, or to the mercury that was in so many of the childhood vaccines, or to both of them?
I think it's both. The mercury, even in extremely small concentrations, is very brain toxic, particularly in these children because their brain's going very rapidly and they need to have all of these connections made properly. The mercury interferes with that process and interferes with the ability of the brain to produce energy and function. The children are getting doses of mercury that are toxic in full-grown adults and beyond the industrial concentration allowed by the EPA for safety. So these children are getting huge doses of mercury, not the small doses that we know toxic, but these heavily toxic doses, plus they're getting overstimulation of their immune system, plus we know that the mercury itself stimulates the brain's immune system. So this intense activation of immunity produces brain inflammation, and that leads to the autism. This is also what leads to Alzheimer's disease in adults when you overstimulate the brain's immune system. It produces inflammation, and that leads to autism.
Well, you know, the great tragedy is that they knew this was toxic, and they had 1,500 or more studies showing it was toxic, and they gave it to our children anyway. And then, of course, I think they passed some sort of a law that you couldn't sue. They slipped it into the Homeland Security bill so that the insurance companies would be sure, find me the vaccine manufacturers, Eli Lilly, would be immune from a lawsuit after all. They said, well, we'll talk more about that when we get back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan here.
Gina Side, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently why the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that in times like this, you really want to have something that will allow you to filter water. You know, if there should be any disruption of our water supply, you need something that you know will be safe, because you can't exist without water. And one thing you can get is a Big Berkey. Now, the Big Berkey is basically a water filter. These have been around for 150, 175 years. The missionaries used to use this in Africa, and you can take swamp water and run it through here. You put it in the top, it comes out the bottom. It goes through ceramic filters, and then the charcoal in the middle. And this is really a great means of filtering out bacteria and cryptosporidium and other products, and a lot of the chemicals are taken out by the filters. So if you'd like to get a Big Berkey, ordinarily they're $279. We sell them for $239.95, and we'll give you any one of our four tape sets or any one of our videos if you order through Radio Liberty. I have to tell you, this is not available at the present time in California or in Iowa, but if you are elsewhere, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, ask for a Big Berkey, and of course, we think you'll be very, very pleased with it. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book is, of course, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and it's got a wonderful section in it on what you need to do to build up your immune system if there is a biological attack. And I will tell you, you know, that if there is a biological attack on America, and Dick Cheney and the establishment seems to be convinced there's going to be one, and they probably know because Dick Cheney knew about or suspected the anthrax attack. He started Cipro, which is used specifically for pulmonary anthrax. He started on the evening of the September 11th attack. He won't tell anybody why he knew or why he suspected there was going to be an attack. and why, if he did suspect there was going to be attack, he didn't tell other people so that they could start on antibiotics. It was just he and his staff, so he says there's going to be another biological attack, and he was right the last time. Well, anyway, if you get Dr. Blaylock's book, he's got a wonderful section in there on how to build up your immune system, because that is your real protection, not duct tape and not plastic to put over your windows, just to be as healthy as you possibly can. If you'd like to get health and nutrition secrets that can save your life, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I will tell you, I don't know how many cases of this we put out. We can't keep them in stock. In fact, they're almost through the first printing of this. I didn't know if you knew that, Russell, but I talked to them today. And when I called in to order more, a few more cases, they said, gee, we haven't heard from you in a couple of days. We were just commenting. I think we've moved more than anybody else has. But they've actually gone through, I think they have 400 books left, so I ordered three more cases because we don't want to run out. But let me say to the listening audience, it's a great book. You won't be sorry you get it. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. They talk about fluoride and mercury, and but there's a section on the vaccines and an even much more important section on biological warfare. And, of course, how you should really... begin to set aside things to protect yourself and your family, and you're not going to do it with a gas mask, and you're not going to do it any other way than building up your immune system. So right now, Russell, why don't you go ahead with the story we've been talking about the vaccines and the fact that we're getting all sorts of diseases from these live vaccines that are being given, and they're demanding our children take them, and of course, some of those, frankly, are not safe. And some of them there's no need for, especially the hepatitis B vaccine. That is simply a boondoggle, and they're giving it to the infants in the nurseries before they could leave the hospital, almost coercing the families to give this, saying, you know, you're not a good parent if you don't. And yet, of course, there was mercury in this, and we're poisoning the children. And when this was pointed out, they said, oh, well, we'll take the mercury out, but we'll use up what we already have. What sort of madness is this?
Well, what we've learned is that that's a lie. They told the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Family Practice that their new policy, all they wanted to do was get rid of the existing stocks. Well, they figured it up. The existing stocks would have disappeared long ago. The most recently released physician's death reference would list all of these vaccines and drugs. We looked it up and found out that the major vaccine manufacturers, several of them, about five different companies, we're still putting some aerosol mercury in these vaccines. So that's why, as Dr. Stan has told you know, many times, you have to tell your physician, I want to see the circular that comes with the vaccine and check it myself, make sure there's no thimerosal, because the doctor thinks it's been removed as well. He's being fooled, but it's still being put in there. Now, the other problem we have is, as I said, there's too many vaccines being given. And as Dr. Stan said, there's many of these vaccines totally unnecessary. For instance, chickenpox. We know that chickenpox is a mild childhood disease. The death rate from chickenpox is 0.0014%. It's something like 1/14,000 of a percent. So it's extremely, extremely low. It's a very mild disease. The children who develop complications from naturally occurring chickenpox do so because they're nutritionally depleted. A child that has normal nutrition rarely has any problem with the chickenpox virus that naturally occurs. Now, Merck company that makes the vaccine invested $5 million in developing it. And the number one reason for giving children this vaccine is, you'll never believe it, so that the mothers will not have to miss work to go home to take care of their child for one day.
That is the justification that they use?
That's the justification.
And of
course, save money so the mothers won't have to leave their job to go home and take care of their child for one or two days.
Well, I think that, you know, they come up with all these phony explanations, but really they politicize the public health department. They politicize the Centers for Disease Control. And all we need to do is look and see the disastrous effects of the vaccine and the parents who have the autistic children. And these are not children born autistic. These are children who developed their autism after they had their vaccine shots. And I've heard this story so many times, and I'm sure that Dr. Blaylock has as well. And what we're doing, and the one thing they cannot allow, is for the American people to realize that they're covering up the truth. We'll be right back here with Dr. Russell Blaylock.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and then, of course, I wanted to tell you that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and that's a long way from being an orthopedic surgeon to selling soap products, but I will tell you that this really is an amazing product. I don't know why so many people have called and told us how beneficial Miracle 2 products were for them, but if you'd like to learn more about them, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a brochure and my interview with a gentleman who actually produces it. Or if you'd like to order the products, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer and a gel and a lotion, and there's a special introductory offer where you can get that. We cannot make any medical claims for this, but we can tell you that many of the people who use it feel that it's really helped them in many, many ways. And all I can do is suggest that you give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products or information on them. We carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, a wonderful homeschool curriculum that will allow you to take your children from grammar school all the way through college graduation from $199.95. It's all on CDs. You pull it down. You print out the textbooks. You print out the various things, the lesson plans, the lessons, the tests, the answers to the tests. The only thing you have to buy separately are the Saxon textbooks. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then we hope that you'll want to go ahead and get the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We think it's a great book. We certainly encourage you to get it. And, of course, the four-tape set that we have that goes with that, which, of course, is entitled Life-Saving Secrets. So that's Life-Saving Secrets or Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and with us on the line from Jackson, Mississippi, is Dr. Russell Blaylock. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to know more about what we're talking about. And, of course, that is the book, and of course the danger of some of the vaccines. Well, now, how do you feel about the smallpox vaccine that, of course, the administration is overriding the advice of their experts? They convened a meeting back at the CDC. They brought in experts on smallpox who said, look, we shouldn't be giving any until we have some smallpox cases. I mean, there's a potential for problems. And so since we haven't had a case of smallpox in 30 years, why do we want to give the vaccine? Maybe you ought to go ahead and vaccinate maybe 50,000 first-line responders, but certainly don't give it to the general population. And so then, of course, the government, as they always do, completely ignored the advice of the experts and laid out a program to initially inoculate 500,000 healthcare providers and then raise it to 10.5 to 11 million. They've already, of course, inoculated our military. Why are they doing this?
Well, I'll give you some interesting information historically about smallpox vaccine. It basically has not changed since the beginning. It's the same vaccine. In England, in 1871 to 1873, there was an epidemic which occurred following compulsory vaccination program for smallpox. In other words, they had everybody in the nation vaccinated. And they couldn't understand, if they had everybody vaccinated, why did this huge epidemic occur? The Royal Commission study determined that the epidemic increased dramatically after 1854 the year of the compulsory vaccinations, there were 14,000 deaths in London alone after the compulsory vaccination.
Now, were these people who have been vaccinated or not, that we don't?
They were all vaccinated.
Oh, okay, fine.
In 1871-73, Europe had the worst smallpox epidemic in history. England and Wales alone had 45,000 people that died. 97% of this population had been vaccinated. Japan had vaccinated its entire population in 1872. By 1892, it had an epidemic of 165,000 cases of smallpox to 30,000 deaths. In the Philippines, the U.S. government in 1917-1919 had compulsory vaccination program in the Philippines, and after the program was initiated, they had 160,000 cases of smallpox with 70,000 deaths. Most were in the completely vaccinated population. Now, what we're learning from this is that apparently people are not being protected in large numbers by the vaccination and may actually increase the death rate from the vaccination. Why this is because of the immune dysfunction that occurs after vaccination. In other words, if you vaccinate a person who has poor immunity, even one immune system, one nutritional system out of whack, their immune reaction to that vaccine is abnormal, and they actually become more susceptible to the disease rather than less susceptible. We've seen this also with the other vaccines. For instance, when they started looking at an epidemic that occurred in Casper, Wyoming, 73% of the cases of the measles that occurred in vaccinated children. In Australia, 80% of the vaccinated children developed the disease. So what we're seeing is that the vaccines aren't giving the degree of immunity that's being claimed by the vaccine manufacturers.
Oh, no, but how then do you address the fact that, since after they did ring vaccinations around the last couple of outbreaks, there really hasn't been any more smallpox in the world?
Well, part of it was because of the increase in nutrition, also the increase in sanitation. So a lot of the fall, just as we saw in these other diseases, for instance, where measles fell 95% and pertussis 75%, all of these diseases were decreasing dramatically before the vaccine programs were initiated. Same thing occurred with smallpox. But when we looked in the countries with poor nutrition, these epidemics were still at very high rates, even when they were starting to introduce these vaccine programs. Now, the smallpox vaccine has a very high complication rate. This is why it was terminated in 1977. There were a lot of neurological problems, autoimmune diseases were being introduced, and it's been estimated that if you had a nationwide smallpox program, you would expect 600 deaths minimum from the vaccine. Now, that's deaths. You would have many times that in terms of complications varying from severe skin eruptions all the way to immune suppression and neurological problems. So, I think when you initiate a vaccine program with smallpox or the proportions they're talking about, you're going to have a lot of serious complications. And if we repeat what was seen historically in the examples I gave you, actually it may either offer much less protection than we thought and may make some people even more susceptible to the disease than before.
All right, let's go to Robert, who's calling us from Virginia. Hi, Robert, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, first of all, I'd like to say I have your book, Dr. Russell, and it's a very good book. I recommend it to everybody.
Okay, I'm glad you got it. I think it's a great book, too, and that's why we're encouraging you to get it, especially the part about building up your immune system.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if Dr. Russell, if you'd ever heard of a Dr. Tilden from the old days. Dr. Tilden or Dr. Trail, these guys were in the late 1800s, and they had this, just like you said, they attributed hygiene and nutrition as the cure for just about everything. That's why they also say that a lot of these diseases fell by the wayside. But in my research on the Internet, I came across an article that I couldn't really understand because it was too high-tech medical terminology for me, but the name of the article was this: dietary bioflavonoids induce cleavage in the MLL gene and may contribute to infantile leukemia. And I just wondered if you'd ever heard of anything like that.
Yeah, and I looked at that article, and what we know about flavonoids is flavonoids, are normal. There's thousands of flavonoids, and some of them can have untoward effects. Now, that's an early event or early report, and it hadn't been confirmed. But most of all, what we see with flavonoids is they're very protective of DNA. They're very protective of the cell. They're very powerful antioxidants for numerous types of very dangerous oxidants. They're immune stimulants. So they do, thousands of things that protect the cells from damage. So this one report out of the literally tens of thousands reported beneficial effects of flavonoids, I would hold my judgment on. We've seen things like that, for instance, with vitamin C. They reported that vitamin C can do the same thing in terms of leukemia. But when you look at the studies, what you find is that as you got to higher doses of vitamin C, actually the opposite occurred. The leukemia rates fell dramatically, and it began to kill off the leukemia cells. So a lot of these studies, it's the way they design them when you get these things.
It's good to hear. This was I did get a date on it. It was February 11, 2000, so it's not recent. And I'm glad to hear your statement, what you just said.
Well, anything else there, Robert?
Well, the other thing was, in your book, you're not recommending too much of drinking commercial pasteurized milk, and I wondered if you had much of an opinion on raw milk, because there are a lot of people in the country that have raw milk, and I just wondered if you had any negative opinion on raw milk.
I would not drink raw milk, because cattle contain numerous viruses, hundreds of viruses. The most common is the virus that causes leukemia and lymphoma. And it's most associated with leukemia and lymphoma in humans is drinking milk, even pasteurized milk. And that's because the pasteurization process does not kill all of these cancer-causing viruses. But leukemia and lymphoma is the number one disease in cattle. Some herds, 80% are infected. So I would be very cautious of drinking raw milk.
Okay. Thanks so much, Robert. And
thank
let's
you
talk
all.
To Paul from Salinas. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi. Hi, Dr. Brillett. Well, I had a question for you regarding vaccines. My wife and I are split on that. I pretty much don't want to give vaccines at all to my children. I was wondering what you thought about that. I have an 8-month-old and a three-year-old. We haven't given either of them the hepatitis B, but I noticed, when in the hospital, when they're born, they give them a shot of vitamin K. What the nurse told us, that was all they've given him.
Vitamin K is fine, don't you, Russell?
Yeah, the vitamin K is fine, but I sure would not take the hepatitis vaccine.
Well, could you explain to Paul why not to take it? Because I think the people out there in the listening audience have to understand. See, the CDC says this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and yet, of course, why do they want to give hepatitis B, which is not a problem in children, unless the mother has the disease, and they could check that ahead of time. If the mother doesn't have the disease, is there any way a child is going to get this till they get to be sexually active or till they become an IV drug user or homosexual?
Yeah, it's virtually no problem at all in children from a normal family background. And most of the pediatricians, when this question was first brought up of introducing the hepatitis B vaccine, were opposed to it. For instance, they did a survey in North Carolina pediatricians and found that only 32% thought this was a good idea. What is interesting is that even though it's based on a phony idea that you're going to protect the children, they know that's not true, and they admit it, that the real protection is supposedly for when they reach the teenage years and beyond. That's when hepatitis B becomes a problem, not in children or in babies. But the interesting thing is, when they did a study and found out when you inoculate these children at birth, how long does the immunization last? Well, it lasted only 4 to 4.5 years. So by the time they reached the teenage years, the vaccine didn't work anymore anyway. Mm-hmm. So they weren't getting any protection from getting the injection at birth, but they were getting a lot of neurological damage and a lot of other problems associated with the vaccine, which are very high incidence rates.
I think, isn't that one of the highest incidence of all vaccine complications in hepatitis B?
It is right at the very top of the list is taking a hepatitis B vaccine.
Because actually, of the molecular mimicking, could you explain to our listeners what that is?
Well, what happens is there are certain components in the virus itself that resemble very closely certain components in your body. For instance, there may be a protein in the virus that looks a lot like a protein in your brain. So that when your immune system begins to attack the virus, it confuses the protein in the brain for the virus and starts attacking the brain.
Well, of course, but basically the hepatitis B vaccine is really is a genetic. I mean, in other words, they've taken a couple of genes or one gene off of the virus and put it, so you're really not attacking the virus, you're attacking the gene, aren't you?
And what you also found is when they looked at this, that those that were getting the vaccine from this genetically altered hepatitis B had a much, much higher complication rate than those who were getting the virus that was extracted from the serum or developed it naturally. So that the vaccine was infinitely more dangerous than natural occurring hepatitis B. Now, the diseases associated with it are a form of neurological paralysis, diabetes, arthritis, encephalitis, an MS-like problem, and complete immune shutdown called anaphylaxis. Now, between 1990 and 1998, there were 25,000 adverse reactions from this injection, 146 deaths, and the vaccine reporting agency received 18 different articles from the scientific literature associated with death in newborns following this vaccine. So it's a very dangerous vaccine. It has no justification, and the studies show that it gives no protection during the peak period of risk, which is the teenage years and beyond. So there's no justification for giving the vaccine in the first place. We know it's extremely dangerous vaccine to give newborn infants or even a child at any age, and this should be halted.
Okay. What about the other vaccines, like the polio or the MMR? I mean, what are the chances, like, if you withhold those vaccines, you know, of your kid actually coming down with those diseases?
All right, let's
take Well, the new polio virus vaccine is better because they used a killed virus. Before, they used a live virus, which was a disaster, and the only cases of polio that were occurring from the vaccine. So children were getting the polio from the vaccine as well as their parents because the virus spread to their parents and to other people that were around these children. So all the cases of polio reported during the vaccine program were caused by the vaccine itself. Now it's a killed virus, which it should have been in the beginning, but politics prevented that. So now it's a much safer vaccine. Also, as Dr. Stan said, the original polio virus was cross-contaminated with a cancer-causing virus, SV40, cytomegalovirus. There's over 26 different viruses associated with that vaccine, which you don't have now with the killed vaccine. Now, a lot of these vaccines are necessary. Chickenpox is not necessary. The safe thing to do with vaccines is don't take them closer than 6 months together. In other words, they should be spread 6 months apart. You shouldn't take any combination vaccines like MMR. You should take them separately. If you do that and keep the nutritional recommendations that I give, what you find is that there's very few complications in those children.
But so you recommend taking like the polio, wait 6 months, and then having them do the MMR? Is that what you're saying?
Right. You shouldn't have all these multiple vaccines being given. See, these kids are going to the pediatrician, as you know, and they'll give them 5 shots or 6 shots, 7 shots at one sitting.
Exactly.
And that is too much of an immune overactivation in that child. Even for an adult, that's an enormous immune load. So that process has to be stopped. And just doing that one thing, separating them by 6 months, has dramatically reduced all of these complications. When you add the nutrition to it, it almost eliminates it.
That doesn't interfere with the cycle. So I thought the doctors are recommending that they do it every 3 to 4 months or something like that. I forget what the cycle is.
It doesn't interfere with it at all, and it makes the vaccine much more successful. For instance, we know that if you take something like beta-glucan, vitamin A, your vitamin C, and your vitamin E, at the time you're taking your vaccine, the vaccine is much more successful, that is, resisting disease, and you have dramatically less complications.
Paul, I'm going to have to let you go. I just wanted to briefly touch on the beta-glucans. Aren't there some studies out there that show this really does boost the immune system, and the government is using this, but they haven't told the people?
Yeah, in fact, the company that makes it is working with Homeland Security to supply it to all 103 nuclear power plants and their workers and the government officials, but so far they've kept it secret from the
Okay, people. Fine. And so this is all discussed in the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Russell, thank you so much for being with us again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up our program here. At Radio Liberty. And of course, we're talking with Dr. Russell Blaylock about his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I want to mention a couple of other items which I hope you'll really seriously want to think about getting. Certainly one of them would be our four-tape set, interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock, that go into the background of the things we've been talking about. It's called Life-Saving Secrets. It's a four-tape set, and of course it's available through Radio Liberty, or if you buy, order a Big Berkey to us. Of course, the Big Berkey at the present time is not available in California. We hope sometime it will be, but at present time it's not available in California or Iowa. But of course, if you order a Big Berkey, why, you get any one of our four-tape sets or any one of the videos we've actually produced free of charge. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get a new four-tape set we have. It's called Aleister Crowley and His Friends, and it goes into the background of the satanic movement in America. And there really is a satanic movement in America. It's well-organized, it's well-financed, and they know exactly what they're doing. The one thing is they don't want the American people to know about it. There really are people out there that worship Satan, and of course, unfortunately, they have connections at the highest levels of our government. There's a wonderful tricks and lies story we have. It's called Deceived. It's got Lou Gossett Jr. and a great cast. It's available in video or certainly in DVD. It's got a great Christian message in it. If you like good Christian entertainment, this is a good Hollywood production. It's one of those cliffhangers. You're sitting on the edge of your chair to the very end. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for Deceived, or we actually have the Left Behind 2 video. If you haven't seen that, we recommend all of these because the Christians, of course, there's nothing wrong with the video. It's simply the message that's in there. And the message here is a healthy, important one. So again, we mentioned, call us and call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is listener-supported. And I want to tell you, we're not tax-exempt. We're not tax-exempt because we want to be able to tell you the truth. And if you have a tax exemption, you become an extension of the government, and they will tell you what to say. And you're prohibited from talking about a lot of things. So while we are not tax-exempt, what we do because we believe that there's a problem, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political and ideological battlefield. If you believe there's a problem, why, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes, and you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, the extra funds that doesn't cost us to send out the tapes in the newsletter is used to finance the radio stations, so that we're almost 50 stations across America. We're a small voice, but we're a growing voice. And I can remember when we just had one station, and then two, and then three, and five, and 10. And now, of course, we are heard across America. And we hope very soon we're going to be able to expand that number. And with your help, if you believe in what we're doing, why, we'll be able to do it. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, it's $25 a year, and you'll get it on a monthly basis. And it'll give you an overview of what's really going on in the world today, the information you're not going to get from ABC, CBS, and NBC, and Fox, which are all tied into this whole complex of control of people of great wealth who believe that they know what's best for us common folks and are working to create a world fascist system when the world will be as one giant global village. And, of course, there will be a ruling elite. There will be a massive police force, everybody being watched and monitored by video cameras and by DNA checks and, of course, car stops and the ability to search your home and echelon, of course, checking your telephone calls, checking your emails, checking your faxes. The world of 1984, it's not imaginary, it's very real, and it's coming very, very rapidly. So if you'd like to become part of our team, our number 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, we hope that you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com, that you'll tell other people about our radio programs and about our website. You have our permission, of course, to copy any of our tapes. You have our permission to copy any of the things I have written, my newsletters, to copy our videos, to copy my population control agenda monograph, and get this information out. If they say things that you disagree with, why, let us know what they are. If you want the documentation on them, we can document just about everything that we talk about here. We keep these documents and articles because, of course, you're not going to get this information elsewhere. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will pray for America. And as you pray for our leaders and pray for our ministers, but that you'll also pray for revival, because the American people don't turn back to God. Do you think God is going to bless this country ever again? Remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And he started by saying, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And in schools, in the Christian area of Iraq, why, they can study the Bible. In Russia today, they have reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion. You can teach from the Bible in schools in formerly communist Russia. But you can't mention the name of God here in America. Why? Why? Because they want to destroy the faith of our children. It's a war against God. It's a conspiracy against God. It's described in Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25, but of course you're not going to hear about this. Anybody who talks about a conspiracy is ridiculed, but there is a conspiracy against God. It's very real, and it's coming to its end very soon. Pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
sound bars here. Why can't we hook up with you? I mean, we called on the regular line, and then, you know, what number should we be calling for the comrade? Well, we tried to come in on that the day before, and we couldn't come in on it. That,